Test. One, two, three. Test. Test. Test.
To apply of the United States of America to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Borough of Seabright, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, has provided the date, time, and location of this meeting to at least two designated newspapers, published the same in the Asbury Park Press, the official newspaper, filed it with the clerk, and posted notice on the bulletin board in the borough offices. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. Could we have a roll call, please?
Cashmore?
Yeah.
Chairman Cunningham?
Here.
Vice Chairman DeCio?
Here.
Councilman Lexi? Mayor Long? Absent. DiGiulio? Is absent. Schwartz?
Here.
Smith? Is absent. Duffy?
Yes.
McGinley?
Okay, we're on to the adoption of the master plan report. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman, just as the board knows, the board has jurisdiction to adopt a master plan. Not a particular requirement to do so. You have previously hired T&M Associates, Mr. Truscott here, to assist you in this endeavor. Planning board had established a subcommittee to work on this master plan. The subcommittee sought input from other sources in reviewing it. The subcommittee is also includes planning board members, which includes real estate developer, local business owners, property owners, etc. Mr. Truscott was the one that you hired and met with the committee members on several occasions and sought further information. All notices have been given about this meeting. They've been also been provided. The notice of the hearing for the master plan has also been provided to the municipal clerks of the adjoining municipalities, Monmouth County Planning Board, New Jersey State Office of Planning Advocate. I think that's the name of it. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Chris.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. For the board's already heard the presentation, we have some proposed amendments, just very, very minor, that we can go over later.
Yeah, but it's important to have the public.
Yes, to give a brief presentation as to what the master plan is about, and then go to the proposed amendments. So the copy that the board's looking at right now, there's no changes since the last meeting. So, so let me just briefly review what the master plan is. I just put up aerial imagery just to sort of capture something. Let me just quickly go through the master plan document and what it contains, so the public is aware of what this is all about. A master plan is really the document that guides the development policies of the town. And it's really the foundation, more importantly, the foundation for the zoning ordinance. There's a land use plan element that's part of that foundation. Also, housing elements are also part of that, too. It's also going to address the housing element. There will be a housing element, a full housing element, addressing all the affordable housing requirements. As prepared by another plan and separate on gas, and so that will be incorporated into the master plan once it's adopted by the borough planning board. That's something separate.
But Marty, just on that note, the existing housing plan element, I think it's from 96, Until that's changed, that's incorporated into this document.
That's correct. That's accurate statement. And this master plan is considered also, because it's a comprehensive reexamination of the town's land use policies and the development regulations. This is considered a general reexamination of the master plan. So we'll go into the management board that.
And the Capone Group has been hired to complete the housing element.
That's correct.
Just to put it on the record.
That's going to be, Town Trust is really the formal housing. We've addressed the housing element, trying to update demographics and housing information.
Right.
So that is still supplements the housing element.
Thank you.
The first part of the master plan, I'm going to pretty much give a sort of version of the master plan. I think it may be more important than if you want to ask questions, then we can address that. But the first part of the master plan addresses demographics, housing stocks, describe what, you know, the town is. Your last comprehensive master plan was done in 1989. So the town's continued planning since then, and it's done reexamination reports in 2004, 2014. So it's been continuous planning in the town. But your last time they comprehensively looked at all the different elements in 1989. So this brings the town to the date in terms of all the different problems of the town, and also addresses some Sandy impact and policies that are related to post-Sandy. With the population demographics, it's not going to go into the details. That is straightforward information.
Just to interrupt for a second, this report has been available on the town's website and is available for any of the public that would like to go through the entirety of it.
Right, yeah, it's on the website, and it was an email blast to the public with a link to that electronic copy, and a copy, every copy was available at Town Hall 10 days prior to the meeting. So the master plan also updates environmental information. There's mapping of the environmental constraints. Actually, very constrained for wetlands and flood hazard areas. So that's not new to everybody. But that information is also informs the rest of the master plan. There's information in the master plan also supporting circulation, road network, transportation provisions, and also critical locations of important facilities in the town. So here we'll do a second. It's figure six, attachment six, critical infrastructure, the borough hall, EMS, required department. An important part of every master plan is really setting a vision for the town. And so we've updated the vision statement in your 1989 master plan. We've updated that to make it current, and there's some parts of that where we really it's more generalized, encompasses more of New Jersey type of information, but we customize it towards the borough. And that's on page 45 in terms of the vision statement. There's a list of specific statements, but very quickly the statement is the Seabright Borough of the future will be an attractive, prosperous community that is sustainable and there's information in the master plan that addresses sustainability issues and also related issues are obviously critical based on the experience we're seeing. The vision statement talks about having town being comprised of attractive, strong neighborhoods, attractive, vibrant business district, walkable, promote the free flow of all types of traffic, modern, efficient infrastructure, first-class flood protection system, facilitated beach access, it would be a key asset, key characteristic of the community, and then have a first-class community facility with town hall and police whatnot that are modern, resilient, accessible, fully addressing the world. So that's something that the vision of the town and everything falls, you know, behind that, and the rest of the, policies. There's a whole statement of policies, and they elaborate on more specifically on those different aspects, and sets guidelines in terms of the policies that the borough should follow in terms of its standards, and also help inform the development regulations and how development that comes into the borough planning board when they review applications and variances as the addressing policies that are stressed. Policies, for example, the last one on the list is increased access solutions that we report on. That's always a concern, not a it's something the town always pushes for, and so that's something that would be used in terms of looking at different applications. But so this policies addresses the standards part of goals of the municipal land use law in terms of air, light, and open space, attractive development, the protection of the neighborhoods and population density. It also addresses more specific community goals of being more resilient to storms and flooding, increase the overall quality and efficiency of municipal services, public awareness of hazard mitigation, minimizing risk of natural hazards, promoting recycling for our residents, promoting non-motorized forms of transportation, and implementation of a borough street policy, as I mentioned before, about access to the river. So those are the goals that this sets. So it's really a master plan is really more very much a vision statement and a statement of aspiration for the borough. So, and then in terms of getting into more specifics, the master plan also addresses existing zoning, and it's an exhibit. This shows the existing zoning in the town. The business area was red health, the strike is the VR zone, the town area, and point to the downtown area. And then the area on the right hand side of the left of the ledge, the tan and yellow and the part of the residential zone. So this is what's existing in terms of the beginning point in terms of analysis as something you look at in terms of any change needed. So there's description and analysis within the master plan of the existing zoning, what all the zones are, and then also discussion of the environmental characteristics of the town that relate to zoning. As part of this analysis too, and I'm not going to go through everyone, but there's something that you looked at some specific zoning amendments for development regulations to make the regulations either more efficient or streamlined, or to address issues that come up in the ordinance that sometimes it works in the ordinance And some of those things, just off the topic, I'm not going to go through the details of that. The building height, definition of story, regulation of roof decks, building separation, seawall platforms, conditional uses that need to be addressed in terms of that was intended to have standards for conditional uses. Houses of worship, one thing, fences, in terms of accessory structures, lots in Shrewsbury River. And then also elevation of residence in terms of pedestrian capture of the street, of the borough streets, of design regulations to address that. And then design standards to help encourage better exterior design of the homes that are being built. Something to show what the town is really looking for. They have to be careful from a legal standpoint. You can't tell people how to put a style of those houses. You can give certain regulations for specific standards that would help guide what the town is looking for and encourage. And this part of the land use plan is also a discussion of green building and infrastructure techniques. Some may be appropriate, some not, but there's some guidance in terms of what they are and what they might encounter and want to do. Look at those that increase or decrease stormwater runoff, introducing to help just one to. Next part is existing land use. This shows based on the tax records as to what the assessor has raised the classified properties in town, residential, apartments, commercial, public facilities, vacant, charitable properties, and other tax properties. So that with the yellow being residential in this predominant area, predominant land use in the northern part of the town. The type of commercial work in the center of the borough. Let's see, commercial will be in red, and then public facilities in blue. So that shows the existing main interconnect. So, again, big point. The land use, how the town should move forward in terms of what changes are necessary. Is the zoning of the things, are they compatible, are they consistent, what changes need to be made? So let me go to the proposed land use. So this is the proposed land use plan that the subcommittee decided on and recommended to the planning board. And the planning board, for a public hearing as part of the next meeting. Let me spend one more time on some of the changes. Changes are do not really reclassify land in the sense of changing from one residential per se, with one small change, a single family home that's currently within a commercial area that are non conforming. Every time they want to put them on a deck or make a change, they need to get a restart for non conformities. So that small area is a big as an R3.
Explain that to the, I know there's some people in the committee in the audience right now that are interested in that portion.
It's east of Ocean Avenue, correct?
Right. Explain that area that we turned into residential. The R3 zone that we created in the middle of the business zone.
Yeah. I think that's good. Yeah. So those that area is not being. Yeah.
Just describe the streets, I think, is what we.
Yeah. Can you describe the location of it?
East of Ocean Avenue.
Yeah. familiar with the exact New Street or what?
East Church, East.
Yeah.
No.
Two and one other.
It's a little group of residential homes that are in the middle of the business zone behind
Woody's.
Behind. We rezoned that to an R3 residential zone.
Reclassified for purposes of the master plan.
Right, so you haven't rezoned yet. Yeah.
We've recommended that change.
Yeah, we've recommended that.
Well, you recommended that would be part of.
It's going to be part of your master plan. It's not yet your zoning ordinance.
It's not zoning, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a recommendation. The changes have to go to the governing body or council. They would have to make that to the law. They have to rezone from commercial to residential. So it's a recommendation.
How's it turned out? If that's fine, Woody's, is that all, like, everything, like, also, like, on the east side, like, Pete Jobson's, like, all of those buildings? Like, everything back there?
No, we sectioned that out, so it's just strictly in coverage of the residential home. I mean, you really have to look at the map closely.
Yeah, it's only the residential, it's considered residential.
Okay.
Because the beach office is still part of the B1 zone.
Right.
They still say.
But all the homes around it.
Are R3, correct. Yep.
One of the other recommendations is there's some multifamily development that was in town. They're in residential zones that are not really compatible with those residential zones. So the subcommittee recommended a separate category for multifamily development. These are existing multifamily developments. So that they would be in their own specific zone district that you specifically regulate that way, rather than being in a district that's more of a single family, of a single family, or maybe you see grandfather or maybe these families or some other means that were in that you're in that zone of conflict set up for that. So those were pulled out in several of the residential zones and then in itself as a specific. District. That's again another recommendation. And that's a very small changes in terms of the business zone the bridge and just small thing from the fact that a foot more bushel consistent with the existing land use. So that's those are basically the changes of there's no real
massive change
at all. So,
you took an acknowledgement of what actually exists, and that's what we're trying to incorporate and turn to council.
Right. Yeah.
So, since there are residences there, and there were never really businesses there, that became an R3 rather than the B1. And what you're talking about in the R5, it's actually the condominium association along the way because they were not going for that. And rather than having to make the condo come in here every single time that they want to do something and for a use variance or whatever the case may be, you want to acknowledge the fact that those are condos. The idea that someone carrying down those condominiums and doing something else probably not going to happen. So we're just trying to reflect what actually exists in the head.
Yeah, good zoning. The good thing is that the zoning and the thing should be as compatible as possible and consistent. That should be the way you want to set up your zoning.
Also, in the downtown R3 zone area now, we are eliminating the two-family, multi-family use as a
we're recommending that their own
use. So
you're recommending.
We're recommending.
This is a master plan on zoning.
We're recommending that the two-family, multi-family, not be permitted use in the R3 zone.
Correct. Yeah. And I think I'm good. I have some other comments, but that is, I think, the core part of the master plan. That would be the plan out, and that's, I think, one of the major facets of it.
I think you and the committee did an excellent job having reviewed it for a few weeks now, and the changes that they're recommending make a lot of sense for the areas they're recommended in. And thank you, committee, for the time they spent. Really did a great job.
Chairman, I just have two more
parts.
There's a recreation plan element that addresses, describes all the recreation parks and areas that sort of in town, the recreation policies and strategies that are part of the master plan going forward as to how to increase, you know, quality life through recreation. There's also a conservation plan element that's basically protecting natural resources and also some policies and strategies in that area too, in terms of food stabilization, another strategy to natural resources. Community facilities are addressed, and I'll just end it at that point, except with the proposed amendment that I want to talk about. And that's, that was this master plan was funded by the New Jersey Department of Community Affairs. So they reviewed, once the draft was, final draft was prepared, they reviewed the final draft. They had three, I consider very minor revisions that they asked us to do. One was to, one of the maps, we call it the existing land use, we call it land use, they have to be retitled to existing land use, and that, you know, that's no problem. They asked that there would be a specific description of public participation that was involved, and Ms. Higgins mentioned the public meetings that have been held, the email blast that was out, or that was sent out just recently, and then and also this public hearing gives the public a chance to. So there's a description of that, and that's in the memo, which are revised, dated June 28th was the original one that I sent out, but we added, based on additional information about the email blast, we added that to the description of the registration. And then DCA also asked for a description of how the master plan relates to the county solid waste. And so we provided some text that addresses that. So those items can be easily, you know, amended to the master plan, and we have the board to accept the proposed amendments as described here. And there's some very small, non-substantial changes in terms of terminology. But so those are the things that I'd ask the board to accept.
So why don't we go to the public portion, reason to discuss prior to that? Anyone in the public have a question about the testimony or a statement about the master plan?
I have a question on, is this
the
information that is online on the planning, this whole package? So it's going to stay online so I can go in there?
And yes.
Can you just state your name for the record?
Diane Kaplan.
Thank you.
Yes.
If it's adopted tonight, it'll, then the final copy is adopted.
Because I went on the site, but it said something about the planning board. There was a separate site, the planning board website, like, you know, on the borough site, and it was just going.
Yeah.
About tonight.
Yes.
We can tell you afterwards. You can ask Kathy and she'll tell you.
All right.
There's a link for it.
Yep.
Anyone else have a question or say, yes, sir?
Yeah, I do. My name's Jim Opry. We have houses in
I'm sorry, I just missed your name, sir. I'm sorry.
There.
Okay.
You could just tell it to the record. We own homes at 44 Ocean, 2300, which is very small. I wanted to get your clarification on page 56 about housing relationship. And I want to understand exactly what will change this is about.
I couldn't hear what you said.
Oh, sorry.
It's. Yeah.
I would like if you could clarify for me what will change in the zoning if we adopt this master plan in terms of housing.
I can read you what it says.
No, we discussed it at our last meeting, the board did, and Marty can chime in too, but we can't prohibit houses of worship. Obviously, they're inherently deemed to be inherently valuable official uses. However, that because of the certainly the limitations and restrictions of Seabright in terms of, you know, your road network, there's a recommendation that they be limited to the B1 central business zone with frontage on Ocean Avenue to avoid, you know, anything anywhere else.
The key frontage on Ocean Avenue?
Well, the key is both.
Not in the business.
B1 central business district and then frontage on Ocean Avenue.
I just have a little trouble with the logic of what's in there. The logic behind why you want to take it away from R1, R2, R3 is so you can focus it in the business district, and yet your rationale is about how there's a lot of congestion down here having to do with the central non-residential services. And if I was starting a church, I wouldn't want a deck here. I would want it somewhere where there's parking that I don't have to pay for. And I wouldn't have
the restriction. Well, payment aside, there's little to no parking in your residential zones.
Not
on the residential streets.
R1 on Ocean Avenue, there's lots of parking.
Yeah. Okay, Marty, I don't know if you want to say anything else on it.
No, I think Howard, I mean, that's Sunbury College is more important to have it in the downtown area. And I think it's the frontage on Ocean Avenue is part of the side of the
If I want to start a church tomorrow morning, where would you tell me to put it?
We wouldn't tell you anything.
Yeah, we wouldn't tell you anything.
Is there access to the building for a church?
Will you tell us?
No, what I'm suggesting is that we're running into hard to bear if we're not careful about this.
That's why we're trying to be very careful about it.
I'm trying to help you be careful. I don't want to start a church. But this isn't my first rodeo. And I've dealt with this before in other townships where they tried to restrict.
As I just indicated, we cannot restrict it. That was how I prefaced this.
Well, we're going to take away 70% of the properties.
No, that's not what it says.
Well, what does it say? That's what I'm trying to understand.
I think you did read it. I don't know how I can. First off, this is a master plan, not a zoning ordinance.
I understand.
Okay. So it's a recommendation. It's not limiting it to any other district because I don't think that you can. However, the recommendation is that they be directed in more appropriate areas as opposed to a small residential neighborhood with tiny narrow streets such as Seabright has.
Well, I'll ask one last question. There's someone in Ottawa, Ocean Avenue, with plenty of parking, files an application to have a religious facility. Would that be a permittable thing?
Well,
according to this, no.
That's what I wanted to ask.
But we actually do have.
This is not a
religious affiliated
natural zoning ordinance either. So it's a master plan.
Land use.
Correct.
I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not trying to get help. I'm just a lawyer.
Okay. Well, duly noted.
So the answer is, if you adopt this, and then it becomes the land use ordinance law, no one can hold up a church in R1, R2, R3.
That's not the case. They can always apply for these plans. They can always say there's certain circumstances that are appropriate. We're saying that right now the principal permitted use is the residential zone right now.
Yeah.
And we're suggesting that it should be a conditional use for this property zone. Conditional use for this standard.
So as a conditional use, you can open a church with a conditional permit.
Conditional.
For variance.
If it's a conditional use, provided you meet the conditions,
sure,
you're in.
I would always recommend that.
Okay.
So that would be the new.
So we agree.
We're in.
We're in violation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm doing it.
No, welcome. Interesting. Yeah. Anyone else in the public have a question about the testimony or a statement about the master plan?
What's the biggest difference between this and what we have? I know we haven't had a master plan in a long time. What's the significant difference here?
The biggest difference is probably the acknowledging the existence of the condominiums and, you know, making them permitted in there where they are.
On their property, yeah. On their properties.
I would think, I don't know, the committee members.
And the change on the east of Ocean Avenue,
right.
which allows the houses to be houses.
Right now, anything one of those houses have to come up with a deck barn, they got to come here and get a few better, but you start, which is still.
But now, if I
want to
live this,
you cannot.
Right.
They have truly become residential zones. Anyone else in the public? Please. Welcome.
I'm Shannon Guardio. My husband and I own Davies Church Street. And my question is, where are we going, especially in our creek on zone? Where are we going in terms of height?
I don't think anything has changed in that, has it?
No, we don't make any recommendations.
Yeah, I agree. There's no recommendations.
And also, is the zone, has there been a change in terms of lot coverage and frame as compared to the previous?
No.
No. Those are all, nothing in the master plan about any of that.
So I guess the third question is, when I see homes that are exceeding height and lot coverage as we know it, why is that happening? What's the environmental impact?
You'd have to give a specific...
They've either gotten a variance or...
Or they actually meet the ordinance and, you know...
Well, where they exceed the ordinance in terms of height and lot coverage as...
To be legal, they would have to have gotten a variance.
Is it my understanding that you're not changing the height variance for the residential and lot coverage, but you will be granting greater leeway in terms of expanding those homes?
No, that's not.
And I don't guess
that is not correct.
That's incorrect.
But it's correct in the sense that what I've been seeing is the granting by this board. Of many height variances, so buildings can be higher, and then footprint.
They're talking about something completely different.
Right.
So this is a master plan. The master plan just gives a general vision of the land use code. Okay. Does not include, we're not touching the height or the area of the property lot size. What you're talking about are the granting of variances, which are not being changed by this. And every single application that comes before this board is judged on its own merits. So there's no precedent set or anything like that. So if an application comes in and the board will give the evidence, the public has to come out to the public and argue against it, and the board will either grant or deny the application. But that has nothing to do with the master plan.
Well, do you plan in the future to change the height and lot coverage?
That's not up to this board. The board doesn't get to make a decision.
That concept has never been addressed in terms of the master plan and how you see it developing. Because
it's not really a master plan issue.
Yeah, that's not what a master plan does.
So the master plan doesn't concern itself with future buildings and how big they are.
I think we did in the beginning, but
it's mostly it's about land use, where the land users should go. And we'll also get into density and density usage. And it could possibly, it's not the main emphasis, but it could possibly get into the massive scale of buildings. But the main part of it is land use. Where they go in multiple locations in town, and that the intensity of it, the density. So there is a concern in the master plan about height in terms of looking at their own regulations, in terms of the buildings that are being built. But it doesn't make any recommendations in terms of increasing, lowering, or anything like that. Height or the master scale. So no recommendations to increase or decrease density or intensity.
No, there is a recommendation as to we changed the definition of height a couple of years ago as to how we measured the height. It's
well,
not.
Well, we didn't change it.
Correct. The town changed it. It did come to the board. The board had its input and made its recommendations. The town changed the zoning ordinance to A, allow the additional 3 feet above the VFA, but also how you measure the height. And I think the part of the master plan just recommended that the council review and maybe see if that had any impact on neighborhoods. I think it is a recommendation. That's the only reason I bring it up. But not to change height or anything else. That's not that, that's not what this master plan or any master plan is.
Right, and that's really that's the job of the council.
Yes.
So the council could, if you want to bring that up to the council meeting and bring it up at the council meeting, because obviously the council is going to be reevaluating the building ordinance based upon this. So if you have a concern with that, then you should come to the council meeting and address it there, because that's the proper body. This body does not make ordinances, so they have no control over what the council actually does, except for the passing the master plan and the council posts to keep it within the recommendations of the master plan. So please come to the council meeting and address those concerns.
I mean, the master plan establishes what your general goals and objectives are for the overall land use throughout the town, the housing elements. It takes into consideration what's on the ground, you know, what's already built, and it's really a global type of a document from which the zoning ordinance, which is created and prepared by the governing body, is then created with the general goals and objectives. It's got to be consistent with goals and objectives of the master plan. But the master plan isn't the specific zoning ordinance that you're referring to.
May I ask you a more specific question? In the R3 zone, you said that you're tending toward or recommending that there would not be multiple family dwellings on plots of land that are previously single family dwellings. Is that what we said?
We're recommending right now multi-family dwellings are permitted in the R3 zone. And we're recommending that all be the case and that only single family homes be allowed in those in the R3 zone.
You're recommending that no longer be
correct, but
it would no longer be permitted.
Yeah, it always anything can always happen with the use variance. Yes, anything can happen. Someone theoretically, and this is not going to happen, someone theoretically could come in and propose to put the Empire State Building in the middle of a residential zone. They could come into the planning board, and the planning board could grant use variance to allow the Empire State Building to be built in the middle. I'm trying to think of the most absurd example possible.
That could be the answer.
Mark, simplify your answer and tell her.
I'm trying to give you the most extreme example that anything can happen with the use variance. We can't stop it. That's state law. Now, that doesn't mean the board has to grant the use variance, but just to answer your question. Now, the other thing to be pretty clear about is that an existing multifamily home can continue even if the council changes the ordinance. It's grandfathered in. Right. That was clear, right? I want to make sure no one actually thinks it's on this part.
You can keep it.
So is there anyone else in the public that has a question? You're welcome to ask more too, Rhonda.
No, I'm not. I don't really feel welcome.
You're going to have to ask.
Something occurs.
Okay. I mean, one, everyone understands what's going on. And that's why we advertise it, and that's why we really make a big effort to hopefully get people out. It's kind of disappointing there are not as many people here.
What's the difference? So I live in an R1, I guess. Actually,
you're going to be in R4. R5. You'll be in R5, right?
You'll be R5.
R3 and R5, I guess. What is that?
R3 is a single family.
R3 is a single family.
Right, R5 will now be multifamily development. That's right. The new zone.
Okay.
That's existing.
R3 is single family.
It just legalizes what you already have.
Okay.
Assuming the council adopts.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am, I think you had a question.
Yes.
Didn't you raise your hand?
I just wanted to clarify that because people have to wait for the housing to change that line.
Yes, that ordinance has been changed. And it's based on four corners of the house, and also the requirements by the DEP for how high you have to be and for your flood insurance.
Yeah, it was all based, it was all post-standard things with FEMA and the adoption of the new flood maps.
And where on maybe the website is?
It's on the, if you go to our website, there's just look for the planning board link,
yeah.
and it's right there.
And just to clarify on that height, because there's actually two different issues. One, the town changed how you view qualified the height. In other words, as you indicated, you used to measure from the crown of the road to the highest point. It's a different way of calculating it. So that's number one. And then after Sandy, by state law, also, you know, you can elevate and under borough ordinance, if the zoning ordinance is 3 feet, but you need is 35 feet, but you need to be above that on your first living floor, you add on the 3 feet. So you want everybody to be 3 feet above the vehicle. It's probably clear as mud.
Well, I think you might want to clarify, because you and Dave, you're working on it also, John, this plan that R3 section behind Woody's or by Church Street was carved out of that area. One consideration of the residents in
absolutely.
That. I don't know if they're
100%
clear the amount of effort to put into that to carve that out to create a better environment for the residents in that area. That's why you see that carved out through one zone, so the residents there can have to be concerned about someone moving up the business use.
Right.
And, you know, to preserve those homes, that residential area.
And we also didn't want to make them have to come in every time they someone wanted to put a deck on that they have to get it for use variance. So, because they were not permitted use. But now they will.
They did that out of consideration absolutely. For the residents, specifically out of consideration for the residents.
Absolutely.
On those streets.
Right.
I think most of the changes were made on 56 recommendations.
Yes. Those are the ordinance recommendations, correct?
Yeah. The section before that is the different land use plan.
Any additional questions or statements?
I just have a pitch. There's a lot of really beautiful underdeveloped property. And I guess the master plan doesn't address that.
Which properties?
Well, all over town.
Undeveloped?
Well, or need to be redeveloped.
Yeah.
Lots of spaces for future wonderful things to happen. I guess I'll come to a town council meeting to hear about it. It just seems like we'd have a real bright future if these things got here.
What I'm really curious.
Well, I'm
trying to think. I know we have the no. He's talking about open properties. I understand.
Something obviously isn't being put to its best use.
Yeah. No.
We don't. Certainly don't get into that.
Although, actually, you did because you just declared several areas as areas in need of redevelopment.
And we recognize that. Yeah.
I don't know if you
were. We actually did do that.
In the center of town. It's in there.
We had the map there before. It said vacant. And it was all colored. Not this one, the other one.
Well, this document says like the third of the property didn't make it.
Yeah. It's not mostly
yeah, well, some of it's to be in between Ocean Avenue and the beach.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong in a town to have some vacant land. And it's privately owned, so.
Yeah, the area shown in black where the condominium developments are, that's really the open space around the condominium. It's not truly vacant. I mean, it really should all be yellow, some of those areas in black.
They're open space that are connected with the condos.
Well, because it's a vacant. So.
Okay. Right.
No,
I understand. Yeah.
Sure. You know, we didn't get your name on the record. No, it's not you. Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you.
Now,
the question is
every time you
fought. The
Yeah.
It's also, yeah, it's on multiple listings. It's in North Beach, it's a ocean, the side lot, and that's listed for 149. And it's 149, and if billing it is, you'll always have a parking place to come to.
Wow.
It can't be built upon or anything, but subdivide that off, you're trying to sell it off.
Into the pump station.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great idea.
It's in the coastal protection zone, and it's undevelopable.
But you can park on it.
You can. The zoning ordinance says you can't have commercial parking on it, but you can have your own cars on it. I believe is what the ordinance actually says.
So it's somebody else's, but their cars on it.
Well, then it would be their own.
Yeah, it'd be their own. I mean, there's nothing we can do to restrict the sale of property to private lot. I don't like when people do that. I mean, we've really discouraged that when people come in here for applications. We want to keep the beach lots attached to a lot across the street.
Anytime that we've had applications for the main house on the west side, we have made it a condition that the two lots, you know, be held in common ownership and never sold separately. But we didn't control all of them, so when we get the chance to, we do. By the way, you asked the question. If you go on the regular Seabright website, Unified Planning Board, which will come up momentarily, and then you'll see there's a PDF for the master plan read on it.
And as Marty said, it's going to be updated to be the final version, and the draft is going to disappear. It is ready for the draft to be on.
Right. It's the last thing on the scroll down to the master plan.
Are there any other questions or statements from the public? If not, public portion is now closed. Any discussion or motion from the board?
I will, there's no discussion. I'll make a motion to approve the master plan as amended, Marty's memorandum of revised on June 29th, 2017.
Do we have a second? Second?
Schwartz?
Roll call, please.
Okay. Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeCio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Duffy? McGinley?
Yes.
Thank you all for coming tonight. The committee did a great job. It's a lot of work to put that together. And I thank them for their efforts. Mark, Dave, and John. Great job. And John.
John
was
John.
Plural. I should have said John.
John.
Is there any other business before the board this evening? If not, thank you. Meeting adjourned.
Great. Well, that's good business.
Yeah, I'm happy to have the work.
Yeah, it makes it easier to build the house.
Exactly.